Hey, everybody, before we get going with this week's Market Outlook with Joe Vaclavic, just want to give you an update on the AgView Executive Business Conference for 2025. We're super excited. We'd like you to mark the dates on the calendar. So save these dates, January 22nd, 23rd, 24th, and 25th. Again, January 22nd through the 25th. The event this year or in 2025 is going to be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida at Hollywood Beach at Margaritaville. And we've got that stuff lined up. There's going to be a lot more information we'll be getting out to you. But the main reason for this update is to make sure that you mark your calendar, save the dates. And then as things develop and Lissa gets more things put together, we will be keeping you updated. But we're super excited to announce the official dates for the AgView Executive Business Conference, January 22nd through the 25th. Thanks. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the AgView Pitch. We are heading into a new marketing week, April 1st through the 5th. So it's the first part of spring, actually. I think a lot of planters are going to get rolling here in the next week or two. And with us today, we have Joe Vaclavic. How's it going, Joe?
I'm good. We're taping on Friday morning. I was up late watching basketball last night, but we're here.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're going to kick this out on the normal Sunday afternoon. So there'll be actually, I was on vacation last week. I was just telling you online here. I went to bed at 3 o'clock and we're up here recording at 7 o'clock in the morning. So hopefully we can.
So if we say something stupid, you just got to excuse it because of tiredness, right?
Exactly. Something like that. So no, I think what we want to hit on first, Joe, is obviously we got some news on last Thursday on kind of what the USDA thinks or kind of what's going on. Talk a little bit about the report and what are the notable things that we need to be really paying attention to, because we finished up last week really strong.
The surprise was in the acreage numbers for two reasons. So the first one, when you look at the initial headline, was that corn acres came in well below expectations, right? The trade thought USDA was going to print a prospective plantings number for corn at like 91.8. It came in at 90 million even. So that's a pretty substantial deviation from what the trade had expected. And the market rallied on that. That was the first surprise, was the corn acreage number. The second surprise as it relates to acreage is just principal crop acreage in general, which declined 6.3 million from last year, which is one of the largest declines that we've ever seen. It's not the largest, but it's one of the largest. So it begs the question, begs a number of questions. Is this report real? Will USDA make upward revisions to the corn acreage number in June or beyond that? Those are the questions that we're left with. But the market, and the corn market in particular, had a nice positive reaction Thursday. And hopefully we can carry some of that into this coming week.
Gotcha. So talk about how long does this carry out? You know, what should people be thinking about? What, you know, should we be holding on now? I mean, there's a lot of people still sitting here with a ton of 23 crop. There's a lot, you know, and we're talking corn specifically here first, 23 crop. There's hardly any 24 sold yet. What should guys be paying attention to?
It doesn't turn the situation from bearish to bullish immediately. It doesn't do that. What it does, I think, is it may inspire some additional short covering. Maybe these big fund traders who have been short for months and months and months, maybe they'll look at this and they'll say, you know what, if we run into a weather problem this spring or summer, this is just not a market that I want to be short anymore. Maybe I've made enough money being short the market, whatever. So I think that there is there's potential that you'll see some additional short covering as a result of this report. What I did after the report was I took USDA's Ag Outlook Forum numbers or their balance sheet numbers for new crop, because that's the only thing we have right now for new crop. It's all just guesses. And I punched in the acreage numbers and it still spits you out like a 2.3 billion bushel carryout for corn, which is not friendly, but that's assuming a 181 yield this year, Chris. And that's something that we've never achieved. You start peeling that yield number back even to like a modest, call it 175, and you get a little bit tighter. So I think that what the report does, at least for the time being, is that it gives you a chance. It gives you a chance at a situation that isn't super bearish if you ran into even a modest weather problem. So the question for me, I guess, is Is that going to be enough to inspire these large money managers to cover their shorts? And when and if that happens, how much farmer selling is going to pressure the market? So I don't know. I mean, you know what? If you're sitting on old crop, depending on how much, these next 3 months coming up, I mean, are very often some of your best months of the year in terms of price action. I mean, your spring, summer rallies, when do they happen? They happen in April, May, June, sometimes into like 4th of July weekend. But in the vast majority of years from a seasonal standpoint, you want to be done with old crop by the time that like first or second week of June rolls around. And you probably want to be pretty aggressively forward sold depending on your financial situation when it comes to new crop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we've got the government, you know, initial acres and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. What's your thought? I'll give you mine so I don't throw you right on the spot. But, you know, I think this could very easily happen because I you know, it's two sides of the story depending on who you listen to. Some people, you know, don't buy this and still think we're going to get the corn acres because quote unquote farmers like to plant corn. And if we get in early, there's a lot of anhydrous on all that kind of stuff. That's going to bode well for more corn acres. On the opposite side of things, guys are planting soybeans first in a lot of areas. And so if they do get rolling early and things are going good and they can throw in a few more acres of soybeans, maybe they do, maybe they don't, I don't know. But my thought is, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we get back up to that 91 or more on the corn from what I see because of the profitability prospects. And I still, in my heart of hearts, believe that farmers make decisions based off of profitability, not just what's more fun to do. So do you have any perspective on that or any opinion one way or the other? Are you pretty much...
No. So after doing a little bit more of a dive into principal crop, like where did the acres go? That sort of conversation. Right. Principal crop acres last year were really high. Total principal crop acres last year were 319.6. So this year, the projection is that we're going to drop to 313.3. But guess what? 313.3 is still higher than it was in 2022. 2022, we were 310.9. It's only 3 million below where we were in 21. It's actually above where we were in 19 and 20. Some of it will have to do with weather. Maybe some of it has to do with price. I mean, I don't know that there has to be an increase in principal crop from that 313.3, because that's a level that would be fairly normal-ish versus the last 4 or 5 years. Really, the only two years that we were better than that were 21 and then 23 in terms of principal crop. So maybe the lack of profitability in general agricultural production has resulted in a reduction in acreage. Maybe you could make that argument. I do think weather will have something to do with it. But when you look at this, I'm looking at this chart on my screen right now of principal crop the last back to 2015. And this number is not like an ultra low number. It's probably more of a normalish number given where we're at right now. Mm-hmm. So I don't think like a whole bunch of acreage necessarily has to come back. I wouldn't be shocked if it did. My personal bias would be that corn acreage probably comes up. And actually, from a historical standpoint, if you look at the changes in corn acreage from this March report to June, the acreage number has a tendency to go higher much more often so than go lower.
Expand on the weather component here, because, you know, we are, I mean, I am in that red zone in Iowa. Yeah. Where it's super, super dry, although I like it that way. I think a lot of people do because we can get our work done. And if it does rain, I don't think it matters much. But is there anything that the market would look at? And at what point do you think weather could or would maybe potentially be something that could give us a little strength?
I said on TV over the weekend that the drought is bearish until third week in May or maybe even third week in June. And that's not like an opinion. I'm basing that on what happened last year when we had a drought. And what happened in 2012, when we had a drought last year, the market didn't start, corn futures didn't start to rally till third week in May. So I think that the way that the way that the traders view weather and dry conditions during the spring is through a lens of, hey, quick planting, maybe more acreage, that sort of thing. In 2012, the market didn't start, corn futures didn't start to rally till third week in June. Like it really took a long time. So based on history, if this drought is to, worsen, become more severe, I don't think the market begins to pay attention, or I don't think the market begins to view it as being a friendly item or something that threatens production until you get into that, call it second half of May. I don't know, maybe even into June, depending on the situation. I don't know. That's what history tells us.
Mm-hmm.
Which is not, I understand that that's not a popular thing to say, yeah. But that's the fact of the matter.
Mm-hmm. Shifting gears a little bit here, Joe, with the general economy, you have Jim Uriel on your subscriber only video. What I think last Tuesday, if people aren't listening to your subscriber video, they need to be, because there's just a ton of really good stuff on there. And you and Jim had some really good conversations and have had the last few weeks. You've had him on. You guys talk a lot about the outside markets and some of the things that are going on. Is there anything there with respect to currency, energies, anything that is kind of a watch out that producers need to be paying attention to on the outside market side?
Without putting words into his mouth, Jim's opinion largely is that, and this is a pretty popular, like not even opinion, this is something that probably happens. The Fed's probably going to cut rates later this year, this summer, June or July is when the first rate cut could happen. And Jim seems to think for a number of different reasons, and I won't get into it, but that there's going to be some easing and that there may be some bank issues. They've got issues with this reverse repo facility, which is a long, long conversation that I'm not going to get into. But he actually thinks that this is positive for asset prices in a number of ways. And when we're talking assets, we're talking probably more so like the stock market and things along those lines in terms of like soft commodities. Is that our large money managers going to come in and buy corn because we've got like some additional inflation? I don't know, unless it's like a 2022 type inflation or 21 into 22 type inflation where it's really rampant. I don't know if I see that, but it's a possibility. Federal Reserve's in a tough spot. They had big operating losses last year because they're paying out too much interest. There are some things that lead me to believe that you could see a reinflation event, which isn't negative corn and soybean prices. I just don't know if it has to be positive. The one thing that it is positive is input prices. So it could be a shitty situation if the commodity markets don't rally, but you see an uptick in inputs because you see upticks in wages and that sort of stuff. Like it could go a lot of different ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're seeing that like right now anhydrous relative to, you know, corn price and everything is really out of whack. There's right. Definitely the input side of things is still a huge concern, actually, from what we're seeing. Seeing a lot of red ink.
So I think that there is there's risk of some sort of reinflation event. And also one of the things Jim mentioned is he thinks that the Fed has kind of quietly shifted its target for inflation. Like they were talking 2%, and now he's thinking, you know, maybe it's like 2.7, 2.8% is going to be their target, because these high interest rates are a detriment to the currency, to the Fed, because of the interest that they're paying out on the debt and everything else. So there's a lot of things behind the scenes going on there.
Mm-hmm. We talked at the beginning of the conversation here, you know, a lot about the production side of things. Mm-hmm. You know, this talk a little bit about the demand side of the equation. Any hope there? You know, it seems like that's been the bleak zone of everything, with not much hope there. But it usually seems like, at least, you know, I've been through about four cycles, you know, like major cycles. And since I've been doing, you know, working with clients and looking at numbers and things, and it always seems like, you know, we do build some demand in those really downturn times. It just is a long process. It takes a while and new stuff comes along. I mean, you know, we've got, you know, the sustainable aviation fuel, all these kind of things building up in the background. But is there anything, you know, that you see on the demand side that comes quicker than the SAF or anything like that, that has a meaningful impact on us maybe in the next 12 months or so?
No. Well, maybe. I think it's going to be dependent on weather. So to go back to those Ag Outlook Forum numbers.
So it's not a demand. We go back to the production side is the hope. Is that it? Possibly.
I think you have a much better shot at a rally through a production or weather issue than you do through a big demand spike. Just to give you one example of something I'm looking at. So I mentioned those Ag Outlook Forum numbers. If you look at the soybean numbers and what USDA had penciled for 24, 25, they're projecting that soybean demand is going to increase by like 6%, which is 256 million bushels. That's the estimate from this year to the next marketing year in those ag out of form numbers. That's going to be really tough to do. 100 million of that is soybean crush. And I believe that to be true. That's going to happen. We're expanding crush. The problem is that they're talking like another 150 million bushels in exports on top of what we did this year, which is going to be tough to do. You're probably going to need a crop issue in Brazil is what you're going to need to see. And this this situation with South America versus the United States has just been a big problem. Like the export demand just has not been there. So yeah, we're going to expand crush for sure in soybeans, but the export piece is very much a problem. There had been all this talk that, you know, we're expanding crush. We need more soybean acres, more soybean acres. I don't see that right now. We can afford to use a lot more soybeans domestically because the export piece of it has been so weak. So I think that you could see better demand, but in the case of beans, probably needs to be weather. And corn, I don't know. Looks like Brazil is going to have a big corn crop. They could be, we're kind of running neck and neck with them in terms of competitiveness on the export market. So I don't know. Corn demand is actually pretty good. It's just crop was so damn big last year.
Mm-hmm. So basically what you're saying is we need a supply issue somewhere along the lines. Typically when you have a supply market versus a demand market, they don't last long, right? That's the adage of, you know, if the opportunity is there, it might be quick. So with that in mind, with those assumptions,
crop scare events are made to be sold in the majority of instances. So you get, and we saw it last year as a perfect example, but there's a ton of other examples where you'll get your corn rally in May or June. Keep this in mind that as far as the corn market goes and cash corn market in the US, corn futures traded on the CME, the United States growing season is by far the quickest and easiest way to get the market to shift course, because we're the biggest corn grower on the planet. When it comes to corn, we use most of our corn domestically. We only export 15% of our corn ballpark. So if you get into a weather issue, all things, it can change really, really fast and in a very short period of time. It's the best opportunity if you run into that weather issue, whether it's real or imagined or just a dry forecast. The market is incredibly, incredibly sensitive to U.S. weather. It's still the biggest deal out there. It's bigger than anything that's macroeconomic or going on in South America. I mean, the U.S. growing season is the deal for the corn market. It's the deal. And that's why, you know, last year you were able to rally corn from, you know, new crop corn from sub 5 to 6.30 in the course of what, 2 or 3 weeks. I mean, it can happen and it can happen very quickly, but I think the producer needs to be aware that in the majority of instances, these crop scare events are just that, they're crop scare events, and that they're usually marketing opportunities. You'll get your rare situation like a 2012 where you'll rally to $7-$8 and stay there for a while. But that's the exception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're starting pretty low, so a big move up still not going to get people to probably numbers we had last year, you know, unless we have this major catastrophe. I mean, who knows? But so with all that said, you know, the 2023 crop, there's still a lot of it out there, but I'm also seeing and have been, you know, spending a lot of time on farms and getting kind of wrapped up. We have a few more to do here this next week, and we're pretty much going to have all the what we call the winter and spring cash flows ready to roll, you know, wrapped up 23, looking at 24 and trying to put all the focus on 24. It always seems to me like if there's a lot of 23 left to sell and you're trying to figure out how to sell 24, a lot of times the people don't, at least this is an observation, people don't do as good a job of getting the pre-sales in, getting those offers in, getting that stuff done on the new crop when they still are sitting on a bunch of old crop. I think there's also some producers out there that are still sitting on cash. So they feel okay. They feel strong. And I think probably from a perspective standpoint, we probably need to step away. And, you know, if you are sitting on cash, you know, there's opportunity cost there. And we talked about that last week, Jared Creed and I did, you know, you can take that money and put it in Vanguard and get 5.27%. You know, currently right now, I mean, there's ways to have that money generating, you know, giving you some return. Any final thoughts on the 23 versus 24 cleaning house? I mean, I've, like I said, I've seen some guys really get down to where there's like hardly anything left of 23, but it sounds like there's still a lot of corn out there. Any thoughts on that?
I think a lot of corn was sold when those March basis contracts went off in late February. And I think that's what put the bottom in the corn market, at least the bottom as we know it right now. We could have another bottom. There's another basis contract period coming up in a month. So that could be something. I don't know. I mean, you know, my fear, I guess, with old crop bushels is that even if you get a weather issue, you might have to wait a while for it. And in that time, if you're somebody who's like sitting on all of last year's crop or say more than half, and you've been paying interest and storage or whatever all this time, you may have to do it for another 2 or 3 months until it pays off. If it pays off at all, there's no guarantee that you're going to have a weather issue. I mean, there's really not. So it's holding old crop ever since harvest has been an uphill battle. The board's trended lower. You've been paying interest. There's carry in the market. It's a difficult market to be long. That being said, the storage ignore guys could get paid if you run into the right or wrong weather situation. They could, but it's just a maybe.
Mm-hmm. Last thing I want to hit you on is 2024 corn, soybeans, wheat. Mm-hmm. Anything you're watching there on the grain side of things that, you know, just give you the last word here on 24, what guys need to be thinking about moving forward here?
Just selling at prices that make money. I mean, if I had to guess, and I hope I'm wrong about this, this could be a year that mirrors a 2014 through 2019 type timeframe more so than a 21 or 22 type timeframe, meaning that, yeah, you may get a couple chances to sell at prices that make money, but the days of clearing a dollar above cost in corn are probably gone for a little bit, barring some sort of fantastic shift in weather or the supplier demand situation, whatever. And anything's possible. Anything and everything's possible in markets. But just the way the balance sheet's set up, the way things look right now, I mean, if you get to a point where you've got some positive margin to the tune of, I don't know, 10-ish%, you probably need to be pretty aggressively forward sold prior to harvest. I mean, and when I say aggressive, that's relative to your farm and financial situation and that sort of thing. But I mean, last year, what would have been the best strategy? The best strategy would have been sell up to your insurance guarantee by mid-June, you know? And is that going to be the strategy this year? I don't know, but you can make an argument that could be, it could be similar.
Mm-hmm. At least when I go back and look, the people that have had the best luck in marketing over the last, you know, I did a 12-year, went back and looked over the last 12 years, and there was out of the 12, there was two that you were better off to do nothing, and the other 10, you were better off to be proactive and know your cost of production, including all of your overhead costs and everything, and then just taking advantage of that.
A lot of it's mental. So on the one hand, you've got the fear of missing out, which is what prevents grain sales in the vast majority of situations, the fear of missing out on something better. But at the same time, so that can present an element of stress mentally. But at the same time, I think having nothing sold would be far more stressful for me personally, just like sitting and watching the prices fall every day. And, oh my gosh, I didn't sell anything. Like you're going to be stressed out no matter what happens. This is not easy. It's not mentally easy to do. It's just extremely difficult in general. Grain marketing is extremely difficult. So I would personally rather know where I stand if I can make some money and, you know, have those forward sales. And if I miss out on something, I miss out on something, you know?
Yeah. Okay. People want to get a hold of you, check out your stuff. If there's anybody listening on here still that doesn't know who you are or what you have going there, they need to know. So real quick, just give us your real quick spiel on your subscriber only videos, because they're phenomenal. The content you're putting out, I would first say congratulations on what you're doing, because you're bringing a great service to people. I mean, we have a ton of listeners on our podcast, and you're just doing a great job with the videos. And so real quick, anybody that's not subscribed, what's the best thing or what can they do to get your content?
So if you want to just see everything that we do, just go to my website. It's standardgrain.com, and the free stuff's on there too. So what we do is, every morning I wake up at 4 o'clock and we put together our podcast and YouTube video, and that's free. So you can listen to that stuff. It's a news show that we do every single day. We upload it by 6 a.m. Central every day. It's out the door and done and uploaded on YouTube and on all the podcast apps, Apple, Google, and Spotify. It's called Grain Markets and Other Stuff. That's free. Check that out. But all the links to that are on standardgrain.com. And then if you want to see the premium stuff is more analysis. Like we have people like you on, we talk about production. I talk about grain marketing in-depth. What have I advised in regard to cash sales? I try to really kind of simplify the grain marketing process. We have all sorts of other guests that come on. It's become super popular. It's a $50 per month subscription. We don't charge any other fee of any other sort. We don't do any sort of upsell or anything. Once you sign up, you'll never hear from us ever again unless you want to. But people seem to love the videos. And I think farmers are in need of information. And that's why we're doing what we're doing. And we're doing it with no strings attached other than, hey, pay the subscription fee and that's it. So, I mean, it's out there. Check it out.
Yeah, I like what you do too, Joe, because that's the theme of keep it simple.
Yes, everything I do, I try to keep it simple.
Yeah, because I just did a 19 minutes podcast that's actually out on Friday, the 29th. We kicked those out the 9th, the 19th, and the 29th. And I just did kind of a rant on, it's just me talking for 19 minutes on the importance of keeping your marketing simple, because I think sometimes the noise, all the information that's out there can be overwhelming. And I think if we can, you know, funnel it down to and keeping it simple, I think we'll all be better off. But with that said, Joe, really appreciate your time, and we'll get back here another time.
Yep. See you next time.
Yeah, we will. All right, everybody. Really appreciate you listening. And if you need anything else or content that you would like us to get out this spring when you guys are out in the field, rolling with equipment and stuff, we'll get some more business content out on the AgView Pitch. With that said, thanks everybody. We'll catch you next time.